Christian Crusaders extends a heartfelt welcome to each of our listeners. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
There are many people who have said to me, "How I wished I could believe the gospel." Is that your feeling? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you have clearly stated in your word that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we pray today, O God, that as your word is opened, and as we seek to expound it, that the Holy Spirit will accompany that message and work in our hearts. Bring to faith those who ponder the question, "How I wished I could believe the gospel, but how?" And then grant, O God, strength to those of us who have by your grace received Christ as Savior and long to share him with others. Bless us to that end. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with verse 6. "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, listen carefully to the conversation of men and women, and you will soon conclude that there is a lot of conversation that centers around the person of God. Sometimes it's almost humorous to hear what people are saying, for you understand that many of their comments are based on preconceived ideas of God that in most cases are wrong. For example, here is a person who has suffered a real tragedy in his life. And another person looking at that individual says, well, he had it coming. The Lord finally punished him. Where in the world do you find that in the Scriptures? Or here's another one. The person had great success, but why shouldn't she? She is such a delightful person and does so much good for so many people. Therefore, God ought to really bless her. And again, I ask, why do you find that? Then there are some who have real anger towards God, as if he were responsible for everything that happened on this earth. After all, he has given us the freedom, hasn't he? He's given us the freedom to say no to him. Well, here's an anger. Saddam Hussein. If there were a God of love, can you conceive of him permitting such an evil man to live? Well, these are just a few. But you see, they are distorted views of where God comes from and who he is. Yeah, I think there can be street talk. I used to call it Main Street theology. Very, very queer. Where the thoughts come from, only God himself knows. Or it could come from our own logic. Now imagine it would be logical that the right should receive reward and the wrong should receive punishment. However, the point is that God's word doesn't always talk that way. Often the one who has done the most wrong, the man on the cross, was told by Jesus, after he repented and put his faith in him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's grace. And you don't hear very much about that as far as God is concerned. In the light of this, and with a general theme that we are discussing these weeks in the sermons, has the church caught the attention of the world? I'd like to present two questions. Is there any way that the church can be used to correct some of these ideas about God? And secondly, if the church has caught the attention of the world, and I believe it has, how can we be used to point people to a God who loves them, who is righteous, but who is anxious to bring them into his kingdom? Now let's take a couple of more pictures, shall we? Here is a friend of yours, and the person says to you quietly when the boys aren't listening, "You know, some of them think that I'm an atheist. I never go to church, and my lifestyle is not always the best. But I want you to know I'm not an atheist. In fact, I am very confused about what to believe regarding God. I went to Mel Gibson's movie." Can you believe it? I did. I went to Mel Gibson's movie, and I saw The Passion. The message to me was very clear. "For as a boy, I did go to church. I went to Sunday school and then left it." The point came across very clearly to me that God has sent into the world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who at the cross of Calvary had paid the price for my sin, and that if I would repent and believe in him, he would grant me the forgiveness of my sins and restore me into fellowship with God forever. I understand that. The problem that I have is, I don't know how you can believe this message. If there is an eternity, then doesn't it make sense that you get there by living a good life? Work righteousness, that's right. I know you lambasted in the church. But the way we live, we are apt to say there is no such a thing as free lunch. And so when the Bible offers us free grace and freedom to live for the Lord Jesus, and freedom that brings us into the kingdom of God forever, that's sometimes kind of hard for us to swallow. And so I am one of those who says, how can I believe the gospel? Or here is another one. Maybe this person is a relative. And she says, I picked up a copy of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I really got a hold of that book when I got to that chapter that started, "This life is not all there is. Life on earth is just the dress rehearsal before the real production." And then Warren goes on and quotes President Lincoln, who said, surely God would not have created such a being to exist only one day. No, no. Man was made for immortality. And your friend says, I like the idea of life after death, but how do I know for sure? I really want to believe that I'm not just going to live here for a number of years and that's going to be the end of it, because I can see that life is going by very rapidly, and then what? But I want to know. I wish I had the assurance that you Christians say that you have. I'm not a Christian, but I would like to be. I'm really interested. I'd love to believe the message you Christians call the gospel. You see, that's why I believe, friend, that we have caught the attention of the world, because I hear this again and again. I'm open. Help me come into this personal relationship with Jesus Christ that you talk about on the radio Sunday after Sunday. Tell me about it. I believe that there must have been some of the same concern with the people who lived in the first century in and around the city of Corinth. For it was in Corinth that Paul had established a church. in a very secular community. But there were those who were coming to the church. And more than that, there were those who were coming to faith in Jesus Christ. The people observed what was going on there. And there were many of them who had said again and again, it sounds like a wonderful message, to know that the sins could be forgiven. But how do I know for sure? And so Paul said, okay, God answers these things for you by the way of revelation. And maybe, no, not maybe, certainly, if God's answers were all right back there in the first century, they are all right today. So let's turn to this text that we have had read for us this morning that happens to come from the second chapter of his first letter to the Corinthian church. They're asking the questions, how are we going to believe all of this? And then Paul says, God's revelation is where you will find the answers. He begins by quoting from the prophet Isaiah, the 64th chapter, verse 4, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. This is very important in answering your question. The gospel is where you find the answers. And the gospel is not a product of the human mind. It comes from God's revelation to us. Paul writes, God has revealed these answers to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, who is the us? Paul says, God has revealed this to us. Well, God revealed this message of salvation to the apostles. The apostles got that message, and they began to proclaim it. And then they began to write it. Peter says in his second letter, Scripture never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, when Peter got up and preached on that Pentecost Sunday, and we've just had Pentecost, that was not the word of Peter. Peter had received that message from Jesus Christ. It was Peter who said, when they asked him, what shall we do? How shall we believe? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That came from God. Peter proclaimed it, and later he wrote it down. It's recorded in the book of Acts. It's a part of the Holy Scriptures. John Stott has said, and remember now, he is the one who has given us a lot of thoughts for this series of sermons. John Stott says, God is the author of revelation. The Spirit is the agent, and the apostles are its recipients. The Bible writers then proclaimed the message, and then they wrote it down. And that is a word of God which stands forever. For Scripture says it is the same yesterday and today and forever. And it cannot be changed by any person or any culture. Now that's very important for us to know. That Bible that you have in your home is God-inspired. For example, in our church, and I have repeated this quite often, we have a confessional statement that says, we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God and the authority in all matters of faith and life. Now, that means that is to stand. That's where it is. This is what God has said. This is His will. And it is surprising to see that how He is able to get into every corner of our lives and pretty much give us answers. Sometimes they're not the answers that I like to have, but nevertheless, they're answers. Only today I talked with a brother who knows that he is soon going to leave this world, and we were discussing the final details of his life. And he went on to say, I don't want to leave. But God has given me the answer. The answer is that after the human being has said we can do no more for you, and God is going to take me home, after we have prayed and prayed hard that we might stay here, then I'm going to my heavenly home. And there I'm going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. That is found in the Scriptures. And friend, even though society would say, our culture does not lean towards this, and maybe we ought to change it a little bit. No, that cannot be done. It cannot be done by any person. Oh, it can be done. But it doesn't change the Scriptures. They still stand. Well, then there's another part of this whole matter of revelation. The revelation is that there is power in that word. And that when you read that word, the Holy Spirit is there if you'll read it prayerfully and attentively, and it will begin to speak to you. The word carries with it the power that can open our eyes and our hearts, and these scripture passages suddenly become living truths. And finally, and there are millions of people who have had this experience, and you can talk with them. They're all around you, your believing relatives. Go to somebody who is a believer and say, how did you become a Christian? How did you grow in the faith? And they'll say, living in the Word of God. There is the power. And pretty soon I learned that Jesus Christ is not only one who is found on the pages of the Scripture, but Jesus Christ is God. He is a Savior. He is the one who went to the cross. That's right, he did die for my sins. And he has said that if you'd repent of them and if you'd believe in me, you have the complete assurance that you're mine forever. So I can know that I'm his. Was it some rational process where I had to talk myself into it? No. It was God who was speaking to me. That's the way people are converted. Many were in the past, and many are still being converted today. Revelation, friend, is closed, but the old continued truths linger on. They linger on for those of us who will listen. So if we will live with his revelation, then our lifestyle may not make sense to some of your friends or our friends and relatives, but nevertheless, that scripture will direct us to the Lord. And in him we will live and die as his child forever. That's how you can believe in the gospel. Live there. It's revelation. It will change your life. Amen.
Say.
Father in heaven, bless your church and grant that in this day and age where we may have just another opportunity to speak to many who are unbelievers in this world, that we may point them to you, back to the scriptures, and then come, Holy Spirit, and work through that word today as once you work through it to bring us closer to the Savior and to that faith where we say, yes, Lord Jesus, you are the Christ. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. We praise God for His provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month Gem Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Your support enables us to deliver biblical truth to those who cannot attend church. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our web address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Reverend Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 42 years.